I even do anything. I just want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And as we were coming in this morning, I really felt sense on my heart. And also as I was praying with my sisters outside and as I was praying with the pastor in the back room, that God really wants to set people free today. Freedom especially around confusion in the mind, especially around conflicts that you are battling with, perhaps turmoil. You see, in the Garden of Eden, the serpent, the devil came to Adam and Eve and he said, "Did God really say? Did God really say?" So there are people here today where God has promised you things in your life and you're waiting for the breakthrough, but the enemy is coming into your mind and he's second guessing it. He's saying to you, "Did God really say that? Did God really say that in this season you're going to see, because there's no breakthrough on the horizon. There's no person in your household that is being healed from that sickness." So he's going to come to you. And what God really wants to do is set you free from those thoughts. And what he really wants you to do is to look to Jesus and to hold on to his promise and hold on to what he has said to you over your life. Amen. Does that resonate with anyone here? So I just want to pray over that right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come against confusion right now. The spirit of confusion, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. The lies, the doubts, I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. I release the peace of God, the truth of God into your life right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person in this place right now. I take authority over every foul spirit. By the blood of Jesus, go. Every sickness, go in the name of Jesus. And I pray for hearts to burn for Jesus today. I pray for hearts to be set alive, to be set on fire today for Jesus. Let the name of Jesus be on the lips of everyone that goes out of here today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now I feel the fire of God in this place. I feel the fire, and we just want to let God do whatever he wants to do. You know, the Lord has given me this platform, but I give it back to him. Holy Spirit, you do what you need to do. But I just want to honor some people here today. I want to honor Pastor and you guys. I just want to say thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come here and to share with you what God has laid on my heart. And just to really just be open. You know, just be open with you guys. And so thank you so much for having me. And as Pastor mentioned, I have my family here with me today. I've got my sisters here with me. I have three sisters, two of them here today. Stand up, Mano. So honor them. Come on. You know, they're not just my sisters. They're my best friends. And they're my brothers. And man, they've been there. I mean, they've known me, obviously. I mean, they've known me for all my life. But from my BC days, from my before Christ days, you know, they were there. They were acting as my parents. They were with me. I was going through a rebellious phase. I'll go into my testimony shortly. They've been there from the beginning, and my older sister as well. And over the last few years, we've really grown together in our journey with Jesus. You know, so they are my wise counsel. You know, Jesus had... he had John and Peter that he confided in. I have my sisters with me that I confided in. You know, so it's so important for us guys to be surrounded with people who are wise and full of things from God, not of the world. Amen. And I just want to honor my mom and dad. Stand up, please. Please, please, please. Yeah, amen. And they're the reason I'm here today. So for you mothers and fathers out there who are praying for their children, keep praying. Amen. Keep believing. Yeah. My mother, I used to, when I was not with the Lord, I used to come home 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. She used to be there crying her eyes out, reading the Bible, praying for me. I used to think, hang on a second, why is my mom like this? It annoyed me because she would ring me up at midnight, 11 p.m., 10 p.m. while I'm out with my friends having fun. And I'd be like, why is she calling me? This is embarrassing. None of my friends are getting these phone calls. I did not like it. I was agitated. I was angry. I just really didn't like them, if I'm being honest, because they were ruining my fun. But you see, when I had the encounter 5 years ago with Jesus, I realized I had the best parents in the world. You see, the parents who introduce you to Jesus Christ are the parents who we should honor. They are the best parents in the world. And I look back at my life, it's because of their prayers I didn't end up there. I used to get into cars with my friends who were drunk, who were high on drugs, and we used to go home together. The next day, I'd be like, how did we even get home? Anything could have happened to me. And that's why she was crying her eyes out, because if something had happened to me and I went to see Jesus face to face, I would not be with him. Because there's a difference between knowing about him and knowing him personally. You see, there's a difference about knowing about him and knowing him personally. I could not have relied on my parents' faith or my mother's prayers. And when I saw Jesus, he'd be like, who are you? I'd be like, well, Jesus, I heard about you. I knew about you. My mom talked about you. My sisters talked about you. The pastor in the churches, they talked about you. He'd be like, do I know you? And in 5 years, that was the life I lived for about 10 years away from God. And it was through my sister's pregnancy, my oldest one. She had complications with a baby, but for some reason, I had the faith to know that he'll be all right, even though I wasn't walking with the Lord. Through the complications, she nearly lost the baby on several occasions. But I believe it was the fourth time she had the complications. They were ready to deliver the baby premature, 3 months premature. And I Googled premature babies, and it was not a good sight. And I hated that sight. And we were just contending for the miracle for him to be born fine. And praise God, he was born fine. And he's amazing. He's 6 years old now. He's just doing his thing. But you see, that got me into church, but it did not change me. Yeah. Now I'm going to church on a Sunday, but I'm still living the life in the world Monday to Saturday. But there was a difference. Every time I heard pastors speak, I felt edgy. I felt like I need to get out of here. I felt like he was picking on me. You see, he wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit convicting me. He was doing work in me. It's not condemnation, it's a conviction. And I believe there's going to be many of us here today that are going to feel that burning in our heart, and it's going to be not nice feeling. It's going to be like, oh, I don't want to hear this. I want to get out. But I'm saying contend for it. That's the Holy Spirit saying something to you. He's highlighting things in your life that should not be there, but he wants to help you get rid of it so you can walk in the destiny that you have been called into. And only if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, because he will touch the hungry ones. So I had an encounter, and I got back into church, but I was living this double lifestyle. And I remember New Year's Eve, I was meant to go out with my friends, but the plan failed. I said to my mom, I'm going to go to church, and she was smiling. I said, why are you smiling? She said, I've been praying all day that your plans would fail and you would go to church. And I was like, what on earth? So I went to church, and I felt, there was no altar call. I fell on my knees and I said to Jesus, I cannot live this double lifestyle, because it was doing stuff inside of me. You see, I was doing things that I wasn't enjoying anymore. There's this preacher called Bill Johnson, and he says this: you don't lose the ability to sin, but you lose the enjoyment of sin. See, now I'm doing things and I'm like, this doesn't feel right. 6 months prior to that, it felt great. You see, Holy Spirit, he was doing stuff in me. And I fell on my knees and I said, I cannot live this lifestyle anymore. Yeah. I didn't know what it looked like. I just said, Jesus, take my life. And from 2013, I'm telling you, it's gone from glory to glory and glory. Amen. And it's not because of going to church on a Sunday. Yeah. It's through an intimate relationship with Jesus. Yeah. It's through getting to know him on a daily basis and knowing who you are in Christ. And that's what we want to do today. That's what we want here. Experience and encounter Jesus today. You may be here, you may be a seasoned Christian for 20, 30 years, and you may be thinking, I don't need an encounter with Jesus, I had it. But you see, an encounter with Jesus will always lead to what kind of fruits are we producing in our lives. You see, if I said to you Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi, if I name these footballers to you, I just gave it away, but you would know them by their fruits because they are footballers. Now, if I was to call your name and you came up here, what would people say about you? What fruits are you known by? You see, the Bible says this in Matthew 12. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. For the tree is known by its fruit. You see, as Christians, we proclaim to be Christians. For a long time in my life, I proclaimed to be Christian. But there was nothing that I was doing that was the fruit of what Christ calls to be a Christian. You see, we're called to love one another. First and foremost, we're called to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. And from that encounter with him, we're called to go out there and live a life that touches every single person that we are surrounded with. I'm not saying to you that you need to speak to every single person onto the streets. No, this is why we come together as a body of Christ. This is why if every single person here is on fire for God, we can reach communities, we can reach countries, we can reach cities, we can reach everyone around us in our workplaces. Everywhere we go, we can set people free from the hopelessness. We can set people free from the sicknesses, because God has called us to go and be the light into the world by shining brightly and having no fear of man and having to know who we are in Christ. But you see, it all comes from that encounter with Jesus. It all comes with the encounter with Jesus. You know, I used to, in my early life, there was some things that had a grip on my life. Football was one of the big things. I'm not saying football is bad. I enjoy it now. But football was like an addiction to me. I was a... It's gone quiet in here. There must be football fans in here. I was a passionate Man United fan. Oh, wow. Yeah, local boy from London, sporting Man United. Yeah, I had it. I was a passionate Man United fan. I would miss church to watch football on Sunday. I would leave early. If there was a game on at 12:30, I would leave halfway through. I'm like, go home, put my kit on, and just get ready to support my team behind the TV. That's how passionate I was before. You see, it was such a stronghold in my life that my mum could see it from a very early age. From a very early age, she could see that I was getting agitated when Man United were losing like 1-0 or 2-0, you know, in the 89th minute. She would come and sit by with me. She would start praying, and United would score 2 goals in the last minute. We would win. Power of prayer. So I blame myself and my mum for the demise of Manchester United, because we've stopped praying for them, and they're not doing well anymore. So it was a big, big, big thing in my life. I used to research the team. I used to get into arguments with people onto the streets to big my team up. One thing I've realized is this. I did not need any encouragement from my friends to talk about the team that I love. In the same way, when we are passionate about Jesus, when we love him, we do not really need encouragement or go to evangelism workshops to tell people about Jesus. Because the Bible says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So when you are passionate, when you're in love with him so much, when you have him inside of you, you just want to reach out to people. We talk about our jobs. We talk about our family members. We talk about all these things. We post it on Facebook, Instagram, and all sorts. But what about Jesus? What about Jesus? So that was a big thing, and there was other things as well. But you see, when I started to come to Christ, I had a decision to make. Do I continue? Because it was bothering me. All my time I was being spent with my friends and all this kind of stuff. But the more I started to hang around with Jesus, the more I started to fall in love with him. And the more I started to realize that the Man United didn't feel like, it didn't feel good anymore. So I was like, and I even had to say to my friends that I cannot come out with you on a Friday night anymore. And they called me boring. And I was like, what? They called me boring. And I said, wait a minute. Things are happening every single day. Different things. God is touching people. You go out on a Friday night, get drunk, can't remember what happened on Saturday night. You do this on a weekly basis and you call me boring. You call me boring, where your life is still the same and you can't even, I mean, if you can't remember what happened yesterday, that's not good. and you find receipts in your pockets of all the money that you spend, and you look at your bank balance, it's not good. So I had to make a decision. So there are this people here today, you will need to make a decision to cut off certain people from your life. If they're not helping you, especially my journey early on, now I can hang around with them because I will not be influenced by their behavior. They'll be influenced by mine because I have Christ in me. So at the beginning of my journey, I had to let them go. I had to say, I cannot do it. It was hard. It was such a hard decision to make. So there are some people in your lives today that you need to analyze and think, hang on a second, are they helping me to go deeper with Christ, or are they actually hindering my journey with Him?
That's right.
We've got to get the hunger.
Hunger.
You see, Christianity is not just going to church on a Sunday, man.
No.
There's so much more to it. There's so much more to it. I look back at my life, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is the most exciting lifestyle that I can live. I was in the gym the other day and I was praying for this person. We became good friends, and now he's been opening up about his life to me, and he was injured for about a month. He came back and he said to me, I said, oh, what have you been up to? He said, well, I've been speaking to Jesus. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah. I said, Jesus, I don't believe in you, but I want to. Simple. See, God will answer the prayer of those who call upon His name. You see, everywhere we go, there are people who need a touch from God, and we are the answer to people's prayers. We are the answer to people's prayers. For 27 years of my life, I had nobody come up to me on the streets and tell me that Jesus loved me. I was speaking to a young boy yesterday, 13 years old. I said, has anyone told you that Jesus loves you? He said, no. No one. How simple are those words? Yet they have so much power that people can experience the love of God. We've had people give their lives to Jesus over simply saying Jesus loves you. The young boy yesterday, he came from a Catholic background. He had an encounter with Jesus. We prayed with him. He invited Jesus into his heart. And by the end of it, he was like, I cannot explain how I feel, but I feel good. His eyes lit up. His face changed. Yeah. Jesus does that to you.
Amen.
When Jesus touches you, people will know. People will know. If it's raining outside and you come inside, people will know that it's raining outside because they can see on your clothes.
Yeah.
Same way, when you've been touched by God, people ought to know. You may not necessarily need to shout it from rooftops, but they will know in the way you talk, in the way you act, in certain circumstances, by the way you react, especially the way you react. So what fruits are we producing? I said to you earlier that if I was to call you up and I asked certain people in the congregation to describe this person or tell me about them, chances are they will probably say great things. But I want you to imagine this. Imagine if I brought one of your work colleagues, or I brought one of your school friends, one of your boys, someone who is not a believer, someone who you hang around with more than you do with church family. Because think about it, we're at work, we're there 10 hours a day, we're with them more than we are with family members, so they will know you. So imagine if I brought, think of your best friend or whatever, imagine if I brought them up here today, what would they say? You see, when we are with Christians, we can act a certain way. Peter, while he was hanging out with the disciples and Jesus, he was doing great, mighty miracles for him. Seeing the dead raised, seeing people come to the sick healed. He was doing amazing things. But when Jesus was away, when he was by himself, what did he do? He rejected Jesus. He said he rejected Jesus. So in the same way, we can come together and we can be all happy and clappy and praising Jesus. But as soon as we go out there and there's a challenge in our life, or if our faith is compromised, or if somebody says to you, oh, come this way, or let's go here, or let's do this, or let's talk about a certain way, will you give in to that? Will you give in to that temptation and reject Christ? You may not say, Jesus, I reject you, but by your reaction, you can reject him. So how we are with Christians can differ from how we are on the outside. But you see, after Peter had received the Holy Spirit, you could see he didn't care what people said about him. He went on to do many awesome exploits for Jesus. So it's so important that not only do we know him, but we are fueled by his Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power. It's the Holy Spirit who he gives us the boldness. He is God himself living inside of us. So if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, as we pray a bit later on, many things are going to happen, I believe. Many things. People are going to get filled by the Holy Spirit. People are going to receive healings. People are going to be delivered. There's going to be many things. But what you need to do is have an open heart and say, you know what, God, I really want you to come in and take this and have a spring clean in my heart and take it away. Because if you don't give him access to every area of your life, then you won't see a transformed life. You see, an encounter with Jesus is not just about you going on the streets or in your workplace and telling people about Jesus. It's about a transformed life. It's about a holy life. It's about a pure life. It's about a life that mirrors Jesus. My prayer has always been this, to be like Jesus. Some people have said that is not possible. I rebuke that. Because the Bible says, you will do the things I did and greater things. The Bible says, be perfect. So when people say, I cannot be perfect, no. I go by the word of God. I'm taking that word of God. I'm applying it to my life. People are like, oh man, but we're gonna slip up. No, I'm not going to slip up. Christ is in me. Holy, I want to be so aware of his voice. I want to be so aware of him. It says in the Bible that those who truly love God cannot continue to sin. That's an encounter. So it's not just about telling people. That's amazing. Yes, they're called to do that. So God really set me free from football. He really did. Now I can watch it with freedom. You know, he also set me free from, this is a personal thing, from drinking. I used to drink just to get drunk, but now you just lose that desire. When he deals with certain things in your life, you lose the desire. And the Bible says we are a brand new creation, and it truly does feel like a brand new creation. Because I remember certain aspects of my life, but I don't have the desire to go back to it. I remember it so I can share it as a testimony of where God took me from. So there are certain things, even right now, God, the Holy Spirit, he is highlighting things in you. And don't just shove it to the corner. And don't think, oh, he's being religious, he's being too spiritual. No. He wants us to live a pure life. He wants us to, if you want to reach people in your area, then we got to be so in love and desire to be with him. This is a checklist that you can do to see if you are being led by the spirit or the flesh. Come on now. Galatians 5 says this. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry. Idolatry is not just statues of gods and stuff. It could be your work. It could be certain people in your life. It could be celebrities. It could be football. It could be anything that takes number one place ahead of Christ. That's what idolatry is. Hostility, quarreling. Are you someone who's always fighting with people? Jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those fruits are the worldly fruits. Every single one of them. They're the worldly fruits. So I really want you to dig down and think, hang on a second, and ask the Holy Spirit to highlight. Are there any worldly fruits that I am producing that I need to take care of? And the fruits of the Spirit is this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. And as Pastor was saying, so passion earlier. Joy. Peace. Patience. A lot of people don't have patience. I've been learning patience too. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I've heard a lot of young people say, I've got no self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions
and desires of the sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Notice it says every part of our lives. Every part. That's not being too holy, spiritual, but it says every part of our lives. Ask him. You want to move to a different city? Ask him. Have you consulted him? Or have you just, or has it just been from your flesh that desire has come about? Moving jobs. You want to be frustrated in your job? Ask him, do you want me to stay or do you want me to go? How do we produce these fruits? And it's quite simple, really. We need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. You know, before there was ever a great commission, there was the greatest commandment. And it said, love the Lord with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and with all your soul. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to fall in love with the Word of God. We need to fall in love with him so much that we are obsessed with him. And that comes from spending time with him. That comes from reading the Word of God. That comes from, perhaps you may need to stop listening to certain types of music and start listening to worship music, because you may be thinking, why am I angry all the time? Why am I lustful all the time? Maybe it's because of the music that you're listening to, and you're feeding your spirit, you're feeding your mind with all these worldly things, and then you question, why am I feeling like this? But when you feed your soul, when you feed your mind with the godly word, with the godly things, then you will start to see all these fears, all these addictions start to evaporate. Why? Because you are feeding on the Word of God. The Bible says our eye is like a lamp. What are we allowing into our lives? What are we allowing? What are we watching that you know is going to impact you in a negative way? It's so important. This is not being religious. I've had to do it. I don't have the desire anymore. If I'm in the gym now, I'm listening to the Word of God, or I'm listening to worship, because it's edifying me. It's building me up. So as I said, our encounter with Jesus should propel us into a transformed life. It should propel us to love him with a whole heart. Only then the Great Commission will come to pass. The woman at the well in John 4, she had an encounter with Jesus Christ. She was at the well. She was thirsty. She just went to get the water. Jesus went there. He was thirsty. And he met her in the middle of the day. He told her all about her life. That's called a word of knowledge. And she had an encounter with him so much that she dropped the jar of water and ran away from there. Now think about that encounter. You go shopping and you desperately need, I don't know, what do we desperately need these days? Coffee, okay. You desperately want coffee because you run out, but you have an encounter with Jesus and you forget about it and you run out that place telling everyone about the encounter. That's what happened to her. She went there to get water and it says she left it and she went into the town and she started to tell every single person. She said, come and see the man who has told me all about my life. Will you meet that man today? Will you meet that Jesus today? Do not let him pass you by today, because tomorrow is not a guarantee. And what did she do? She went there and she sowed the seed by her testimony. So we don't need to be intellectual in our theology. We have a testimony that will do the work of God. That's all she did. She shared her testimony. And when she shared her testimony, they said, oh, okay, we want to know this Jesus. So they invited Jesus themselves. And they said to her, it's not because of your testimony, it's because we have experienced him for ourselves. Your testimony that you have, I'm telling you, works wonders. For many days, weeks, we used to get into arguments and debates with Muslims especially. And we were like, I was like, God, this is frustrating. It gets my flesh all riled up. I hate it when they talk about you like this. I don't like it. And I said to Jesus, I said, Holy Spirit, what How can we minister to them? You know what he said? He said, ask them their testimony.
Yeah.
We said, what? So we're like, okay. So me and my friend, we went out. We said, hey, man, we're Christians. Man, we would love to hear your testimony. They were like, well, the Quran says this. Nah, forget it. We're not talking about theology. We're not talking about Quran or the Bible. I just want to know your personal encounter with Allah, how he changed you. What were you like before? What are you like now? You know, what is the fruit in your life of his goodness? They were like, well, the Quran. I'm just kept going back to the Quran. I said, stop going back to the Quran. Tell me about how you've encountered him.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, they don't have a testimony. Yeah. Nobody has a testimony. And we started, when we started to share our testimony,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, there's no argument against it.
Come on.
There's no argument against it.
Come on.
And it's not just fancy words.
No.
It's not fancy words. It's the power of God as well. We've seen a Muslim man get healed outside the mosque going to a 1 p.m. Friday prayer meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
With the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Do not be scared to mention the name of Jesus to your friends, to your work colleagues. God loves you, doesn't cut it no more. I've had many people, I've said, God loves you, and they're like, oh, he loves you too. But when I say Jesus, they get riled up. It affects them. They get angry. They're like, no, Jesus is this. Why? Because the devil wants to shut down the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
When you say Jesus, it really gets people, not that you're trying to get a reaction, but the name of Jesus. Because God can be anything these days now. God is anything. So this is the woman at the well. Zacchaeus, he had an encounter with Jesus. He was the fraudster, tax man. I mean, I've got to pay my tax in November as well. But you know, like, he had an encounter. He had dinner with Jesus. And look at his reaction. He says, he just gave everything that he had away. All he had was a dinner with Jesus. That's the impact a lunch can have with Jesus. You don't need to have a 5-hour long encounter with Jesus. He probably had like an hour or something, to say the least. A single touch from God will transform your life.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus gave away everything. He restored it fourfold. And I've said this before, but that was the first ever record of a tax rebate. So that's where they came from. So I'm praying for a big tax rebate. The demon-possessed man, it says a legion. I mean, that's like 4,000 to 6,000 demons in him. His home was the tombs. He was chained. He was bound. He had an army of demons in him. But Jesus freed him, and it said, and what, look at the reaction, it says, he went into the town, started telling everyone about what Jesus had done for him. He didn't need an evangelism class. He didn't need that. It's good to have people encouraging you, but I'm telling you, when you had that sort of encounter, I mean, you would tell people, you would share this good news with people. So these are people who had these exploits, but you can also have an encounter with Jesus that can lead you to not do anything about it. Judas walked with Jesus.
He did.
Judas was one of the disciples.
He
saw miracles. He did miracles. He did many mighty things in the presence. He walked. He shared bread with Jesus. He did everything. Jesus knew him well. I mean, he did all the exploits of God. But yet, you know how the story ended. Why? Because of his heart, his posture. You see, he hadn't completely surrendered himself to Christ. You see, the Bible says he was a thief. You know, he didn't care about the money that would go to the poor. He would take things out for himself. Judas walked with Jesus after having an encounter with him. And the Bible says this, that on that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do mighty works? Did we not prophesy? Did we not do all of this? But Jesus will say to you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, because I do not know you. You can still do mighty stuff for the Lord, but yet still don't know him. You can still, because his word will bring back fruit. It does not come back void. You can still be an amazing man or woman of God, but yet you have this secret life that you are living that hasn't been exposed to the people around you, but it's been exposed by God himself because he sees you. Pontius Pilate. I mean, I was just reading this the other day. Pilate, he saw Jesus face to face. He was with him. He was talking to him. And it says, Pilate said, I find no charge with this man. He found him not guilty. But he gave in to the roars of the crowd. He gave in. He knew inside that this man was free to go. But instead of, he had power to set him free. But instead of listening to the voice inside of him, he listened to the people outside. Are there things that are being compromised in your life that you are listening to other people rather than listening to the still voice of God inside of you? Are there things in your life that you're giving into and compromising the word of God and you walk with him because you want to please the people, the crowd that is out there? Because you know if you please them, then you will fit in. But if you don't, then you'll fit out. But we're called to be not of the world. We're called to stand out. And it's not just, you may be, you know, you may be here, you're a Christian and you're like, you know, but I'm doing wonderful things for the Lord. You know, I go to church, I go to the prayer meetings, I've seen miracles, I share the gospel. I'm doing all these things. But that's great, but what if you're going through a tough time? Are you still praising Jesus? Are you still worshiping him? Because in Acts 16, there is a story where Paul and Silas are going into this town and they come, they encounter this woman that is possessed. She does, she's a fortune teller and she's possessed and she's hassling them. And after about 3 days, Paul gets annoyed, it says, and he says, he commands that spirit out of her. And when she gets freed, there's an uproar from her. From her employees because they've lost the means of wealth. So what the employees do, they capture Paul and Silas, they beat them up, and they get them arrested, and the jailer puts them into the most inner part of the jail. But check this out. In verse 25 of Acts 16, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Can you relate to that situation where you've done amazing things for God, but yet there are things that are happening in your life and you're thinking, why is this happening to me? I've been so faithful. Paul and Silas had every right to be like that, to complain, to grumble, and to question God's existence, and to be like, God, I've had enough of this. I do not want to do this anymore because where is the promise? How am I going to live this life pleasing you, bumps? I'm having hardship. But look what it says. It says they were praising God and they were singing hymns and suddenly there was a great atmosphere and it broke the chains of Paul and Silas, but not did it only break the chains of them, it broke the chains of every other single prisoner in that place because of the singing, because of the praising, because the way you react is going to show the world what kind of God you serve. If it's grumbling, if it's complaining, they're going to see a God that doesn't care about you. But if you praise him, if you shout with joy, even in the pits of the flame, people's chains will be broken because of your testimony, because of the way you are reacting. And the jailer was so touched by this. It says, what can I do? What can I do to be saved? And it led, because of their praise and worship, it led the jailer to have an encounter with Jesus. With your reaction, it can have two ways. It'll either lead people to have an encounter with Jesus, or it'll drive them away, and it'll drive them thinking there's nothing different about the God they serve. Because when you are in the pit, when you do not rely on him, when you start to take worldly advice, when you start to do things in your own strength, they're not going to see a difference. But if you do start to say, hang on a second, I don't care what's going on in my life, I know Jesus has got me. And when you come out of it, because you will come out of it. You will come out of it. When you do, people can be like, there's something different about you. And we want to know this Jesus. And boom, there's your chance. There's your opportunity to tell him about this God that we serve. An encounter with Jesus changes lives. In just a moment, I'm just wrapping up, and I really feel that we want to spend some time in prayer. Because there are certain people here today that can fit in many categories. There are people here today who have had an encounter, but the fire, the desire is not there anymore. It's not burning. You're not burning as the way you were 10 years ago or 5 years ago when you first encountered him. And you need a fresh touch from God today. You need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to have that touch so when you walk out and thinking, oh Jesus, it really is all about you. And there are some people here too who have had the encounter by living a lifestyle where it's compromising the word of God. You're living a double lifestyle. I can preach this because I've lived it. You're living a double lifestyle. And today is the day to put that aside and say, no, today is the day that I want to live fully for Jesus. Today, I don't care what it looks like when I go to school tomorrow. I don't care what it looks like when I go to work tomorrow. I want to be fully sold out for Jesus so I can make a difference in this world. So that when I see Jesus face to face, he will know who I am. I had a vision one day. I was in a conference, and it was such a profound vision that it ruined me in the most amazing way. And this is why I always feel that we need to need to share this, because in the vision, we were in a conference room, and I saw Jesus walk in into the room. And when he walked into the room, I mean, the young ones, we say hi with this, you know, fist bump these days, you know, and that's what I saw Jesus doing, his fist bumping people. But there were some people he was not fist bumping. You only fist bump or shake hands with people that you know. Right? That you know. Or you give them a hug, you know, a nice hug. Or there's a difference. And what it really showed me was that even though we're in an environment like this, we're in a church, there are still people who are here today. If Jesus walked in, he'll walk past you. Will he walk past you today, or will he give you a fist bump? Or will he give you a high five? Or will he say, hey, what's up? Or will he walk past you? So don't let this be the day where he walks past you. Let this be the day where he holds you and says, I know you, you're my boy, you're my girl. And there are some people here today I just really feel for freedom in there, battling with internal mind, especially mine. It just keeps coming back to me, and we really want to pray for that as well. So if we can just have maybe the worship team just come up, and we'll just praise Jesus for a little while, and we're going to open up this floor for these three sets of people. And do not be shy, let's just say. Do not care what your neighbor thinks. This is about your life today. This is about you. This is about you having an encounter with Jesus. Do not let this moment pass you by. If the Holy Spirit, he is highlighting something inside of you and you want to be completely free from it, then now is the opportunity. Because there are certain things, when God gives us words and he puts it on our heart, he wants to deal with those matters. And today is the day that he wants to deal with it. So as we just rise, if we just... First, I want to open it up. Let's just close our eyes and just look to Jesus. Let's just worship him. Just give him thanks. Don't think about anyone else. Don't even think about lunch yet. Look to Jesus. Because he's going to do stuff today. If you allow him to. Because I cannot force you to come. I cannot force you to open your heart. But the Holy Spirit, he will highlight certain things. If you're here today and you've never had an encounter with Jesus, but you've been in church all your life. See, I was in church all my life, but I left because I didn't have that encounter with Jesus. And I remember I was at this conference and this song was playing, Man of Sorrows. And the words that said this, he was beaten, mocked, and scorned. And in that same very moment I was reading those words, I had a vision of Jesus on a cross and me living a lifestyle that was in sin, lifestyle that was not pleasing to God, a lifestyle that for that very reason he went on there to die for me. See, I wept because I realized something. It felt as though that with everything that I was doing, with every sin I was committing, it was me personally getting that whip and giving him those lashes at the back. It felt as though it was me personally who got those nails and put them in his feet, in his hands. It felt as though it was me personally who put the spear in his side. It felt as though it was me personally that he died because he died of a broken heart because of me. And I realized something. I should have been on that cross, but he went on there for me so that I would not live an eternal death, that I would live an eternal life. That's when the cross became real to me. Although I had heard about the cross, I had heard about Jesus all my life, that's when the cross became real to me, when I realized that it should have been me. So if that is here today, if you are here today and you want to encounter Jesus for the very first time, I just invite you right now. I just invite you right now just to come forward and we'll pray with you. Does he know you? Will you walk out of here being sure that, you know what, if I was taking my last breath, I would be with him? Or you don't know, or you maybe you're unsure what's going to happen to you. If that is you, just come forward. Don't care what anyone thinks, just come forward. Do not care about what your friends think, what your parents may think. Come forward. Do not walk away from here not being sure of your eternal salvation. Make sure your name is written on that book of life.
Worship him, just don't look anything else, just worship him. Jesus.
I just want to open up to people who want to have a fresh touch from God today. Who need a fresh touch. You might be going through a time where, you know what, it's been dire, and you just need God to touch you, to set you on fire again, because you've lost that desire, or something is going on, trials and tribulations, or the voice of the devil has started to cloud your time to spend with him. You're starting to believe the lies of the devil. If that is you today, I just want you to come forward, because God wants to set you free. He wants to set you on fire, and he wants you to walk out of here free from those lies. So if that is for you, just come forward. Happen. So if that's you, come forward, and we're going to start praying for you.